There is a battle over history, specifically American history, and you could put it this way, there's a war on America as founded. Hello and welcome to this particular point, or this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Bob Woodson, woodsoncenter.org, or 1776unites.com for more information. Mr. Woodson, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Pleased to be here.
All right. And just real fast, tell us a little bit more introduction about yourself, especially history.
I'm a veteran of the civil rights movement, but I left the movement back in the 60s over the issue of forced busing for integration. I believe the opposite of segregation is desegregation, not integration. But also I was distressed that the civil rights movement had morphed into a race grievance industry. And I've been critical of how the government has undermined traditional institutions within the black community that helped it survive slavery and discrimination. And so I've sort of been changed from looking at the world through the lens of race to class. And so I've worked on behalf of low-income people of all groups for the past 40 years.
And what have you found to be effective change for positive, you know, help them get off their feet, become self-reliant, and, you know, and prosperous, frankly?
In other words, whenever people look at the poor, whether it's from the left, Bill Bennett said, When people on the left see poor people, they see a sea of victims, and people on the right see aliens. It is important to go in and look at the poor and look for strengths. Look for people who are achieving against the odds. They are the social entrepreneurs. That's why we believe that the principles that operate in our market economy should operate in the social economy. Only 3% of the people in our commercial economy are entrepreneurs, but they generate 70% of the jobs and the innovation. Same in the social economy. You have low-income, crime-infested neighborhoods, but there are social entrepreneurs there, people who have achieved in spite of their environment, and they are the source of innovation and inspiration about how to change the whole community. Government has been hostile to these institutions. What the Woodson Center has done is gone in and raised money to support solutions coming from within the community, where it is based upon self-sufficiency and independence and self-determination.
You know,
we've been pretty effective.
Yeah, one thing, and I'm a white person, you're a black person, but I have to say this. I have been very discouraged when I've read about situations like where you have, let's say, a little black child who is achieving well in school and working hard, and then his or her peers will belittle them and saying, you're acting too white. For what? For getting all A's? I mean, that's good. If you're in school, you should achieve success in school. If you're working, you should strive to achieve success at work. You know, how is that too white? How is that too black? I mean, that's just that I do not understand that. And I don't think Dr. King would agree with those peers that are making fun of that kid or trying to bring them down. Can you explain this to me?
Well, this is a disabling message that have been propagated by some black elites who are part of what I call the race grievance industry. They profit from, and race is being weaponized by the radical left, and they're using the traditions of black civil rights as a weapon to achieve political power. And so their goal is, but they are really propagating a very self-defeating message, particularly to low-income people. But they send their own children to schools where excellence is required, while also saying to low-income black kids that you are exempt from any personal responsibility, that racism is your fault. And so that's what we at the Woodson Center, we're pushing against, that this negative self-defeating narrative, and that's why we have 1776, we are releasing curriculum the teacher's resilience, excellence as a standard. So that's what we're doing to push back against it. But it is a struggle going on within the culture from the forces who want to preach defeat and call it militant opposition to racism. It's really a message of defeat.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. One of the last things outgoing President Trump did was some sort of executive order related to 1776, 1776 Commission. Let's celebrate America's, you know, true heritage and so forth, including self-reliance. One of the first things incoming President Joe Biden did was to nullify that executive order of President Trump. So here's outgoing President Trump. So here's a question for you. Why is history being fought over? Why is there a battle over history, American history?
Well, because I think the left wants to use the birth defect of slavery as a weapon to undermine this country. I really believe that there that people who are anarchists, they're socialists, who really are trying to undermine the country, and they are exploiting America's birth defect of slavery to convince all the America that America should be defined by slavery and discrimination and not by the promise of the Constitution and the Declaration. That's why we at the Woodson Center, it's important for, since they are, the left is using leftist blacks, we think those of us on the other side who are black have a responsibility to say to America that these black folks who are saying that do not speak for most black Americans.
So would you say that your opinion, and let's say that of Carol Swain, who's also an African-American and so forth, and she's been a part of the 1776unites.com movement, and there's others as well. Would you say that your views are the ones held by the majority of blacks, even though
absolutely
they're not well known? And go ahead, elaborate.
It's not. If you look at the Pew study, when they asked 66% of blacks ask whether or not to what extent is race a barrier to their they said only slightly. So there's no great consensus in the black America that somehow racism is our biggest issue. No, that is just not bared out by the facts.
Yeah, and so, I mean, when you think about it, in the big picture of things, Martin Luther King Jr. has had quite a legacy, quite a positive impact on America in terms of trying to move us towards a colorblind society. But I do think there's been a regress in the last few years in terms of some people don't even want to have a colorblind society. They just see white people and they say, oh, these are white supremacists or something.
Well, I think that it's a minority of black spokespersons who are grievance-oriented, but they're being aided and abetted by the press. The very fact that when there was left-wing violence in Chicago, when they were looting and burning, the Washington Post never wrote a single story about the riots in the left-wing riots in Chicago. Not a single story in 4 days did the Washington Post write. So there is a conspiracy between the media, the mainstream media, and left-wing elements in the country are really conspiring to kind of undermine this country's fundamental values. But we are pushing back, and I think we're going to be victorious.
What is 1776 Unites?
We are a group of, it's a program of the Woodson Center where we have brought together about 23 scholars and activists to counter the message coming from 1619. We have produced a series of essays that have that will be in a book that is coming out in a few months, celebrating America's past, documenting the rich heritage of self-help. We have a series of essays refuting 1619, that America is incurably racist and this should be defined by slavery. We talk about black resilience, that we are the only nation on the face of the earth that ever fought a war against slavery. We are the only nation on the face of the earth that has an Emancipation Proclamation, and that's why people of color from all over the world risk their lives to get here to enjoy what we have. And so all of this is celebrated in our 16-19 essays that will be ready. We have released curriculum, and within the first 7 days, 7,000 downloads of our curriculum that tells the accurate story of American history, while acknowledging slavery and the fact that it has not been adequately presented. Nobody should be defined by any birth defect or the most problematic period in their lives when they were young.
So
America is defined by redemption of second chances.
Yeah. So what is the 1619 Project, for those not familiar?
The 1619 is a group of black journalists who worked for the New York Times last year, published a series of essays called 1619, and they took the position that America's birth date is not 1776 with the Declaration of Independence, but 1619. That's the year that the first 20 African slaves came on these shores, and that America should be defined by slavery, and that capitalism was built on the backs of slavery, and that since half of the founders were slaveholders, therefore the documents that they penned was invalid, and that the Revolutionary War was fought in support of slavery. We refuted all of that and offered alternatives, but that false history has been embraced and being taught. 1619 essays are being used in school systems as the basis of teaching children anti-American messages.
Yeah, it's so sad, though, because the overall liberal stranglehold on education would almost guarantee, in many cases, unfortunately, that more kids would be exposed to the 1619 ideas than the 1776 ideas that you're countering with. And God bless you for countering with those, with the truth.
Well, we really think and we believe that the truth will prevail. There has just been a calls every day to our office, parents, school board members, and others are really thirsting for the truth. And so we are doing everything we can to raise the resources so we can respond to this demand that is coming.
Excellent.
To tell the truth about the American experience.
You know, I will say this. I remember one of them. We have about 1 minute left. I remember reading that one of the key founders of the 1619 Project used the word DNA or the phrase DNA and saying that racism is in America's DNA. Well, wait a minute. If something is in an organism's DNA, you can't uproot it. So America is hopelessly racist, she is saying, essentially. That's awful.
It is awful. Then why are they getting Black Lives? Why are corporations giving Black Lives Matter $10 billion to change it? If it's in the DNA, then you can't change it. So what is it that they want? So what they're asking for is reparations, which is really crazy. So
yeah, but we should talk about that some other time. I would like that if they're the right, because I think the call for reparations is going to come out in the near future. Thank you so much for joining us, Bob Woodson. Let me give your websites again. Woodson, Woodson, center.org, and 1776unites.com. Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
And thank you.